Hey, 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 you are listening to First Coast Connect. I'm Al Letson, sitting in Studio 2 in the big chair, and we've got a special show for you today. I can't wait to dive in. But first, it's Wednesday. It's hump day. Oh my goodness, just two more days and then the weekend. Although I have to say, sitting at this table today, it feels like a little bit of a celebration because I have such beautiful people surrounding me. So today we are talking about the unique challenges currently people face when looking for love in the First Coast, but also all over the world. Local experts and community members join us for a closer look. And Players by the Sea has a new show and a new managing director. But first, love in the digital age. We turn to technology to simplify tasks in our life. Apps make it easy to catch a ride or have groceries brought to our doorstep. Finding the one is no exception. But is swiping left or right providing results that users are hoping for? Joining with us today are Amy Love, matchmaker and founder of Honey in Flame. Hey, Amy, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And Rebecca Bell, dating therapist and founder of Aligning with Love. Rebecca, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
Brandi Durham, family-oriented professional in search of her forever person. Brandi, how you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
And Melissa Hirschman, open-hearted yoga warrior, ready for the real. Melissa, how are you doing today?
I'm awesome. Happy to be here.
You are awesome.
You're awesome.
No, you're awesome.
You.
Now, Melissa, I've known you for years, and I don't think we've ever had a long conversation. Like, I just see you around town. We're like, hey.
Hey, how's it going? Well, this is definitely like not awkward at all.
No.
It's true.
Our first conversation has microphones in our face. So, dear listeners, you're in for a lively conversation because all these ladies were in the lobby. I thought they were going to do a talk show without me. So you should join the conversation. 549-2937. You can tweet us at FCC on air. First Coast Connect at WJCT.org. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all the places. You know where to find us. Hit us up. And we are talking about love, connection, and all those things in our modern age. So Amy Love.
Yes.
I love your last name.
Thank you.
Amy Love, you have started a new business. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, I would love to. Honey in Flame launches October 1st, and we are a personalized matchmaking service or agency that kind of gets away from the technological aspect of swiping apps. It's done in person. And it has a secret sauce of questions and a whole menu of things that we offer to our clients. There's three different packages, and it's about being in the room and being open to love. And we get you ready for that if you're not ready. And we introduce you to qualified candidates, and we do background checks. We keep it safe. And I'm really passionate about bringing people together.
Rebecca, as a therapist that works in this field, what have been the differences? What Amy's doing right now feels mm-hmm. like a little bit of a throwback from what we used to do,
right.
As like when you were looking for love and maybe like going to a bar wasn't your thing, you would look for a matchmaker, like what Amy's talking about. But we're now in this world where everything is online and we're swiping left and we're swiping right, the Bumbles, the I don't know these apps, but you know,
right.
like this. Bumbles and yeah, there's so many options.
Tinder,
out there.
Tinder, that was the one I was thinking about. Yes.
Tinder.
So like, what is that today? Like, how does that show up in relationships?
So in my work as a dating therapist, right, folks are overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed with the amount of options that are out there for them to find love, and there's so many barriers that folks need to be enlightened to. And so whether it's through, right, working with a matchmaker or working with me to clear barriers, people need clarity. They need a heightened sense of awareness about what it takes to find love.
Yeah.
It's not as intuitive as we would hope it would be.
Melissa and Brandi, what would be your experiences in the dating world, specifically on the First Coast, because we're here?
My experience is just getting to know myself, taking time to myself. I'm a single mother. My son is 10 years old. And it took most of his life for me to get to the point where I am so comfortable in loving myself to where I know exactly what I, I know what I deserve in a mate. So now I'm at this point and I'm like, all right, I'm opening myself up. And then it goes, womp, womp, womp. And I'm like, uh-oh, what happened? I got to this wonderful, beautiful place in my life and I'm ready. And it seems that everybody's just jaded by what's going on in the world. And I think technology may have a lot to do with it. But my experience here on the first, I mean, it's just the same. It's, you know, people are looking for one thing first. And then, you know, and you can take that where you think I'm going with that. And then, you know, that's just been my experience. But I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. I'm not giving up.
Sure. Melissa?
Yeah, I guess kind of a similar experience, right? I think as we get a little bit older, we've been maybe, you know, through certain experiences that help mold and help shape us. And we kind of learn maybe not exactly what we want, but maybe the things that are not okay. So things, and I'm not saying, you know, every little yellow flag is like a giant red flag, but I think that there are certain things that when we look, we're like, okay, this is jives with my lifestyle and the things that I see and the things that I want, and maybe I can work with this. And so I think in some ways though, also online dating opens up a bigger population than maybe you would see, particularly if you're, you know, like I am somebody that doesn't drink alcohol. So it's challenging sometimes to meet other people that are in the same way. So it kind of opens up that world for us too, right? So it's got its pros and its cons for sure.
Amy, what do you think is the special sauce, the secret ingredient? Cause like, you know, you can meet somebody and they could, you know, check off all your things, right? They can be this, they can be that, all the things that you're looking for, but there may not be a spark there. And then you can meet somebody else that like is totally different. And that spark is like strong and you're like, ah, you know, like what is that?
Well, you're talking about that chemistry possibly that some people have or don't have. And I don't think that that is an end all be all for finding someone to share moments with. I don't believe that marriage is essentially a goal all the time. It's about being happy and being worthy of love and creating space for a partner and that partner being able to create space for you. And when you're open and you're in the metaphorical room of possibilities, you got to be about it. You got to be about finding love and putting yourself out there. And that has to do with self-love. That has to do with communication. It has to do with sharing and just discovering together. And I think oftentimes that initial chemistry or spark gets much deeper and is a very deep glowing ember, to be cheesy, that doesn't go out as easily as that, you know, initial little, oh, she's hot or he's hot.
We're talking about love. I think that like it's pretty hard to not be cheesy at points. So.
Yes. Oh, well, hey, I do love the cheese.
It's funny. I'm lactose intolerant. So. Rebecca, when you work with a client, sort of what is the first step in trying to like, because you're basically trying to prepare them to receive love.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what we're looking at first is their vision. What's their relationship vision? What are the things that are important to them in a relationship? Because that varies by the individual. Like some people don't want marriage. Some people just want a long-term commitment. Some people want to date more than one person. So we're looking at their vision specifically. What is it that they want? And then we are looking at what are their core gifts? What are their core gifts that they have to bring to a relationship? And what I'm teaching them is to look for ways in which people that they date or that they're entertaining are inspired by their gifts. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at the difference between an attraction of deprivation, in which someone is not inspired by who you are at your core, and then someone who's inspired by an attraction of inspiration.
You can join the conversation at 549-2937. You can tweet us at FCC on air. First Coast Connect at WJCT.org. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. So Brandy and Melissa, like I keep throwing to you as a team, let's tag team this. What has been your experience specifically? Like, I mean, do you guys use the apps? I'm assuming. Have you used the apps?
Yes.
I don't want to assume.
I have.
Do you have a favorite app?
No.
I mean,
I haven't paid for anything. Well, so maybe that's my problem.
See, and it's interesting that you say that because I feel like there's definitely like a there's a value to making the investment, I guess, in the app, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have a lot of favorite app. I mean, I've used Hinge and that's been moderately sick. I see a lot of thumbs up. So I feel like other maybe people have used the Hinge.
I met my wife on Hinge. Yeah.
You did?
And I did.
What? Wow. Look at that door opening. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like a little Hinge bump. But I, you know,
that was good.
Thank you very much. But that's what I've had success on. And I try to remember too, like I was just thinking about when you sat down and you're like, we've seen each other so many times. Mm-hmm. But like that is the experience in dating sometimes too. Like you just never know who you're going to be sitting down at a table with or who's going to be right around the corner. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And there's like also some kind of magic to that. So you just, I don't know that there's a perfect combination except for Honey and Flame.
Of course.
That will be the thing. But yeah, I mean,
yeah,
that's been my experience anyway.
Yeah. I've met really nice people. I've gone on dates from the apps. Like I said, I haven't paid for them because I'm not sure how, you know, if paying really does get me the cream of the crop, but it's very possible. However, I've met nice people, and one of my best friends I actually met on the app. I mean, he's married to another woman, but we just became really great friends. I'm grateful for that friendship. We met, God, years ago, when my son was a baby probably or a toddler. So, you know, I think the apps can bring some good things in your life. No.
If it's time, it's time. Yeah, it's right. When it's time, it's time.
That's true. That is true.
You know what I try to remember.
Amy, walk me through like your process and you know, you and I talked before we booked this segment. I should say that Amy is an old friend of mine. You and I talked and you were telling me that like, you know, you've made a lot of mistakes in love and you found your way through and you're like, you're taking those experiences and applying it to your new business. So talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, yes, if success can come from failure, then we're going to be very successful, for sure. I've been setting people up and bringing people together for as long as I could introduce people together. I just love that about people being open and open to others. And so as far as like a process is concerned, we have a great series of questions. It depends on what package somebody would want. We have a roster, essentially, where there's nothing guaranteed and we don't go through our in-depth process unless we are going to pair them with somebody. But we do have an extensive interview and talk session, and we might even refer them to Rebecca to talk a little bit more because we are not therapy. We are coaching people, helping people, and then wanting to meet friends and family, going as far as even helping with looking at style, living circumstances, talking points. We set up the date. We do extensive background checks too, so people feel safe. And we do check-ins after the date. And then it's off to the races, whether they want us to be involved or not. And it's not just me. We have a great team starting Honey and Flame that I feel very connected to. And my partner Joanna and I have really been working on this, and we will continue to evolve as, you know, business goes on.
Yeah. So you guys will, I'm sitting at a table with four amazing women. You will have to forgive me for my male ignorance. So I was talking to a female friend of mine, a woman, and she was basically talking about, you know, going on the dates or whatever. And actually, like, what happened was she was getting ready to go on a date and she sent me like her information. She cut on her location. She did all of these things.
I have 100%
done that. And
said,
like, if,
yeah, it's like, a real thing.
If you don't hear from me by X, if I don't text you, blah, 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 blah. And it struck me that as a man, like, I never think about that, like, ever. Like,
I
probably should.
Maybe like, crazy.
I'm at some crazy people, but crazy. That's a different story. That's a different story. But I'm just saying, like, I think that, like, you know, you just don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And so, like, I don't have that experience. But when you bring up, like, you want to make sure that everybody's safe, that just, you know, I think the men who hear that, like, we don't have, a lot of times we don't have that equation running through our head.
Well, we just want to ensure that people are who they say they are, that they perhaps went to school or they have a job and it is real. and the criminal background checks. We also want to ensure that women are who they say they are as well. It's not just a one-way street.
And we're going to go to the phones. We've got Steve in Jacksonville. Steve, how are you?
I am fine. I've got a, I have a question, and it's just mulling around in my mind right now.
Shoot.
I've just been through a divorce, but I've met somebody who is absolutely a wonderful, fantastic person in every means of the word. But she is not my physical type. And I'm trying to figure out how to navigate that.
Let me ask you a little bit of a deeper question. She's not your type, but does that mean you are not physically attracted to her? Like, I mean, like, there, you can date somebody that's not your type and still be physically attracted to them. So I guess, like, I'm trying to get down to the brass tacks.
I'm kind of the I understand, and I'm kind of the opposite on it. It's that I love everything about her, but physically I am attracted, but it's just not, I've got a mind block on it.
Yeah, you sound hesitant. I have thoughts, but I'm going to let the expert handle this one. Rebecca, what do you
Ooh,
think?
I'll take it. So, such a good question. And it's something that so many people struggle with. This is not a first time thing. So I'm so grateful that you called in to share this, because, as Amy touched on a few minutes ago, you know, real love, deep intimacy, is a slow burning ember. And it's a slow burning ember that is built over time. It's not something that happens immediately. And so many times, the most intimate, deepest, highest quality connection relationships aren't going to start with chemistry. Because when you've got this bright flame of chemistry in the beginning, we're looking at something a little bit different than that, than true intimacy. There may be some bonding happening that could be around things that aren't gonna lead to a long-term relationship that's healthy. So what I would ask you to focus on is the quality of your connection with her. How is the quality of your connection with her? Can you rate it on a scale from 0 to 10, 10 being the highest of quality? Where does it fall?
Steve, you there?
Yeah, yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yes, I can, because she may be one of the most intelligent and wonderful women I've ever met in my life. And I just have this shallow version of physicality.
Is it shallow though?
And like, I'm trying to get past it.
Steve, my question to Rebecca is it shallow?
I wouldn't necessarily. I can't rate that. I can't say that it's shallow right now, because we'd have to have more of a conversation to determine that. But I would shift your focus from physicality, you know, attributes of her, and focus on the quality of your connection. And
I think I'm really trying to do that, to be
okay.
quite honest with you.
Yeah.
It's just one of those weird questions that your mind does to you.
Absolutely.
Amy?
I also would second that with a little euphemism that I love is, when in doubt, date it out. There's no timeline here. Mm-hmm. Just go till you can't go anymore. It's on her. It's on you equally. If she's like not feeling like it's moving somewhere, then that's that. You know, if you feel like it's not moving somewhere, just keep going in. Just keep going in and
especially
trying.
If they enjoy each other's company.
Yeah,
like
right.
if you enjoy each other's company, there's really no loss in hanging out with them. If you don't enjoy your company, then like end it,
yeah.
let it go.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. no.
Exactly.
Melissa, you have thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of think that I can only judge from my own experiences at times when I've let the physical attraction be the lead, like I've let that part lead. And there's certainly a wonderful and playful dynamic to that, but I feel like something solid has to be built on foundation. Mm-hmm. And as much as I would love to look at somebody and be like, oh my God, I just want to like rip their clothes off all the time. I also want somebody that I can like sit and have a really good cup of coffee with in the morning and enjoy their company and have some shared values and some things that are going to be maybe a little more substantial and last a little bit longer than physical appearance. Because we all change. Everything changes in gravity for all of us.
Right. Steve, thanks so much for calling in. So I think in this new age of internet dating, I mean, obviously, like internet dating has been around for a very long time, but it feels like in the last, 5 to 6 years, the apps have really like become a major thing. And what's happened is it's added new words into our vocabulary. And new, maybe a new way to call a phenomenon that has always happened. And so I'm thinking like ghosting. Ghosting, when I heard the term, I was thinking about me as a young man going, yeah, I did that a couple times. Long before the term came into being.
Ahead of your time.
Yes.
I am a visionary. but I'm wondering, like, when it comes to things such as that, like, what are your thoughts on ghosting? How do you, have you done it? How do you deal with it?
Absolutely.
All those things. Please.
Yes. Absolutely.
You've done it.
Yeah. But I, okay.
You like.
if we have not built any type of deep connect, not necessarily deep, but more, conversation. And if I don't feel like our connection is strong whatsoever, and it's very surface level. And to take the word from our caller, shallow. If you were kind of shallow to me, I'll just block you. And like, there's nothing else that we got to talk about. Versus where if there's someone that I've have more respect for, I think it's a level of respect. Because if I can't find the respect for you because you're not showing it for yourself or for me, then I'm definitely, it's going to be easy to ghost you. But other than that, I love communication, and I'd be like, I tell people.
Have you gotten ghosted? But have someone ghosted you?
Have I ever been ghosted? Oh yeah, maybe. But I lead with a big old wall, and I'm very, I try to be really detached at the beginning so that I don't have any feelings toward anything. So if I'm ghosted, I'd be like, oh no, have I talked to this person in a week? I don't know. I try to just keep it moving so that I don't feel. Is that, I might have a problem.
You need to talk to Rebecca.
I might have some issues.
Thank
you.
Melissa, how about you? What do you think about?
It's so hard. No, so I am a person that also values communication. So to me, if I don't know that I've been, I'm using air quotes, right? But like, I don't know that I've been ghosted. I mean, I've definitely had people that I've enjoyed spending time with, and they have slowly dissipated away into the
right.
That's called silent ghosting.
Yeah. Silent ghosting. Before it was a thing, right? And right. So, but I also think in today's world, like because the apps can be kind of like low investment and low commitment, right? Like it's easy to like get on, you have a little conversation, but if I've not met you, like we don't I have any investment, right? If it's just a conversation and you dip, like that's fine. Unless we've, taken it off the app or whatever. But in person, after I've dated somebody, I mean, definitely people have lost interest, which I know is hard to believe, but definitely people have lost interest, I guess. But I don't know that I've ever been ghosted. And I try in my own dating life to like, if there's something I'm not feeling, it's a new thing that, because that's a boundaries, like that's a boundaries thing, right? Mm-hmm. So like, that's a whole nother show probably.
Yeah,
but, I've tried to, especially as an adult, be like, look, you're wonderful and I'm not feeling it. Be well.
Yeah.
Amy, I'll probably see you again in the world.
Yeah. Amy, if someone signs up for your service and they go on a date, with someone and they're just not feeling it. Will you guys step in and say so?
We would strongly encourage accountability, responsibility, and, you know, looking at their bank account. You need to, meaning facing what is in front of you. Yeah, for sure. No
and
ghosting.
We're going to go to the phone. We've got Mike out by the beaches. Mike, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm good. What you got for us?
Let me pull off my ear. Here we go. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great. What you got for us?
Well, I just wanted to dig a little deeper into the whole ghosting thing. I mean, I've been married for 20 years. It's been a long time since I've dated. But you know, when I was dating back in the day, I was both I had my successes and my failures and good dates and bad dates, and I had I was on both sides of being the dumper and the dumpy, you know. But you know, back in the day, we didn't call it ghosting, but I had been ghosted more than once, and it was it's a real painful thing. And so wanted to comment with regards to that. The second person, Amy, I think, was talking about having some accountability about that. I was hoping maybe you can dig just a little bit more than where you scratched on that itch and talk a little bit more about that. Because if you're on the receiving side of the ghosting, you know, that's leaving you without an understanding of maybe what you've done wrong, or maybe you haven't done anything wrong. They're just not feeling it. Maybe
yeah. And listen,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Mike, I totally understand what you're saying. And from being somebody on the side of having been ghosted many moons. I mean, as you were talking, Mike, I remembered, like, there was this woman that I dated. This is like 20 years ago, like a long time ago. There was this woman that I dated. I liked her a lot. We hung out several times. And then one day she just stopped talking to me and I had no idea what I did. And I called her and tried to make it right. Even like if we weren't going to date, I just wanted to be cool. Like because I liked her. I thought she was great. Gone. Like nothing. I saw her several years later and I was like, what's up with that? She was like, it was me.
But it always is.
It's always
about the person that's doing the thing and not about the person that's
right. So I totally hear you. But I think we kind of are talking about, like, just to break it down a little bit, like there are two kind of different ways. I think what Brandy was talking about was somebody that you don't really have a connection with. It's just you meet, they're like ephemera in your life. Like you can just let it go and it's fine. There's a different kind of ghosting though that feels like you've been going down a road for a while and then somebody disappears.
Yeah. Right. Like you had a date scheduled for that day and then they don't show for the date.
Right.
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 This is like their third or fourth date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's still a rejection, regardless of how topical the meeting was. Like just to go against a little bit what Brandy said. It's okay to grab the bull by the horns in every situation and just say, I don't think that we are for each other at this time. Just saying that simply really helped, because people are messy and there's a lot going on sometimes, especially if you don't know someone, where they're coming from, that just a little bit of that accountability can go a long way.
Mike, thanks for your call so much. And we are going to go to a quick break, but we are going to come right back with this panel. You are listening to First Coast Connect on air, and we are talking about all things love.
I'll
David Luckin and I have not heard this version of this song. I'm a big Sade fan. It's the Neptunes mix. I love the Neptunes. I love Sade. This is good. Although I got to say, like, my ear is like, wait, where's my normal version? Because, you know, look, I love Sade. Anyway.
Good, but it's a good version. Though.
That is a good version.
Speaking of the vibe.
All right. Yeah. So I have an illustrious panel today. Wait, I don't even know what that word means. I've just heard it before.
We're all aglow.
We actually are illustrious.
Yes, illustrious. They're all illustrious. I've got Amy Love, matchmaker and founder of Honey and Flame. Rebecca Bell, dating therapist and founder of Aligning with Love. Brandi Durham and Melissa Hirschman, both of the community members navigating the local dating scene. And we want to hear from you. You can give us a call at 549-2937. You can tweet us at FCC On Air, First Coast Connected, WJCT. org. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, all the places. We are there. So one thing that comes up a lot with dating, I think, especially with online dating, because you can end up matching with somebody that, like, I think a lot of the apps have location services, but, you know, I mean, back in the day, like OkCupid, you could, like, link with somebody all the way across the country, right? So, like, long distance dating is a thing. Rebecca, how do you think people navigate that?
That's a tough one to navigate because, you know, I am going to encourage folks to, well, first of all, let me just state the 90% rule. Mm-hmm. You are ruling out 90% of the folks that you're dating, most especially when you're dating online. 90%.
Yeah.
So I'm encouraging folks to meet pretty quickly in person or through FaceTime, you know, within like the first week or so. Because when you're dragging things out a lot longer than that, you're getting into the 90% that you need to eliminate.
Brandi had a response to that. Like, your head was like, oh, I don't know about that. Like, do you tend to not meet people quickly if you meet them on the app?
I can be so hesitant because
I got that 9 o'clock available for you.
I am taking the 9 a.m. appointment tomorrow. I can be hesitant just because I have to feel your vibes. I need to hear your voice first. Like, I need to hear how you respond to my stupid jokes. But I mean, I get it. I understand. Mm-hmm. And I love, you know, the idea of going on dates and whatnot as well. But I don't know. I also love the idea of a long distance relationship.
I mean, it works for some people, right?
Yeah. I don't have to be bothered all day, every day, but I still love you.
Uh-huh. Distance in a relationship is good.
Yeah,
creates
absolutely.
More desire. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Melissa?
Yeah, well, yes. So all the things, right? It's so great. Yes, space is a very valuable tool at mm-hmm. the beginning of a relationship. Like, yeah. You know, especially in like in my cult, like in LGBT culture, we are like, hey, it's nice to meet you. Who's renting the U-Haul?
Right.
Like, so we like I have after, you know, my long many years on this planet, like that is something I have learned to appreciate. However, I do think that when I'm meeting somebody kind of for the first time, like probably one of my greatest I'd met somebody on an app. This is like a number of years ago. And she was like, oh, you know what we should do? We should have a FaceTime. And it was the first time somebody had like come at me that soon. We've been talking maybe a couple of days and she, or maybe the week. And she's like, but just see how the vibe is. Mm-hmm. And I love that so much. And so it was just a cool, refreshing way to approach. But I'm also a fan of like, if you meet somebody and you think you got some chemistry or I don't know, get together, meet them. You know, mm-hmm. that's been what I've tried to do. Cause otherwise you could just drag it on forever. And at the end of the day, like, I don't want a pen pal, you know,
right,
like
yeah,
I want somebody
right.
that I can connect with. And even if they don't live close by, like, making the space to find that connection, I think, in person is, like, super important.
Right.
Yeah.
I should say, just to set the table a little bit here, that, like, I am the son of a Baptist minister. I am, like, I'm definitely, my heart is open for everybody, all of that stuff. Like, I love everybody. But there are certain things that have come up in the dating world that we're talking about a lot, which have always gone on, but, like, for me, it's like I have a hard time understanding it because it's not the thing that I would do. And that's like polyamory. When I hear polyamory, I'm like, huh. Like I'm trying to wrap my head around that. And it seems to like really be a thing now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like dating has changed.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah, it's growing in popularity, and I need to state I'm not an expert on polyamory, and I haven't gone to additional trainings and certifications to understand that community. But it is definitely, you know, growing and very popular.
Amy, will there be a place where
polyamory arm?
Yeah,
a branch. I was going to talk about long distance relationships. We do plan on evolving and growing, but it's not definitely an expertise that we have on the table at this time. But connecting people is what we do. And sometimes people are, they're movers, they're travelers, they're, you know, in certain areas. And we're going to connect those people and then send them to Rebecca.
Thank you.
When I think about
my mind just got filled. Yeah.
When I think about polyamory, I think like having a partner, one partner is hard.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of work.
Absolutely. It's got time for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I heard from my understanding of polyamory, that's just like that's the top of the branch or the bottom of the branch and then, or the tree. And then it branches out and it's like parallel polyamory where the spouses don't need to know what the others are doing, but you know, it's just like, I don't know. It's just like, there's so many different branches from what I've mm-hmm. heard. Mm-hmm. It's just too much.
It's a new world. My general thoughts on all of that is like, look, as long as people are consenting adults and, right.
You got it. Yeah.
Do your thing. Like, it's not for me, but you know, I'm also not going to sit in judgment. I just don't really understand it, but I don't need to understand it. Like, do your thing, you know? Amy, I took you a long way away from long distance love. So we're going to travel back. What were your thoughts on long distance dating and love?
Well, I definitely agree that meeting quickly and, you know, like a job that you love, keep dating, keep going out there and meeting the person if they live here. We do offer services where we share other matchmaking rosters of people that have been vetted across the United States and even beyond. And those are people that have means, that travel for work, mm-hmm. and that are looking possibly for somebody to go outside of those boundaries. So if Brandy was like, hey, I think something, you know, out of the zip code would be great, or Melissa, we would expand our search for them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Being that I'm the only male representative here, help the guys out,
okay.
Amy. Like, you know, typical guy, maybe he's, you know, newly single and is looking for love. What do you feel like are the best ways to approach a potential man or a woman?
Well, they would be approaching me because they're ready for love, not just looking for love.
So tell me, like, what you think the difference is. What, for you, what the difference is between ready for love and looking for love?
I think there's a difference, and Rebecca, you back me up here. There's a difference between filling the void and looking out in the same direction together. You know, very, very different ways of looking at partnership and love. And we're more interested in that long-term relationship, getting to know someone, humanization, you know, on a large grade scale. And that takes time. It takes time to go down that road with someone.
Yeah, I mean, ready for love and looking for love are two vastly different things, right? So I'm probably going to be helping folks who are looking for love, but they think they're ready for it.
Right.
Right. So they're like, but I'm ready. But something's not working. Like, I can't understand why it's so hard for me, you know, like, and maybe they've got a little bit of awareness that there's some patterns that have emerged in their last few relationships. Maybe they end the same way. Maybe they end similarly. And they're just not really sure what it is. Is it me? Is it them? And so that's what I'm going to help folks do, is better prepare to get ready.
Yeah.
And then send them to Amy.
And usually the answer is, from the words of a great philosopher, it's me. Hi.
Oh,
I'm the
boy.
Problem. It's me.
That's always a fun conversation for me to have with clients.
I also like the quote, you attract what you're ready for.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Melissa and Brandy, when you are in these dating circles. What are the red flags that immediately no, goodbye?
Maybe for me, it would be it's so hard to say, right? Because I think that there is definitely room for, if you like somebody, I think you're more likely to make some, to accommodate, right? And right. I don't mean accommodate make space in your life for certain things that maybe you didn't think about or you weren't open to. For me, maybe lifestyle choices and mm-hmm. also the way they treat animals and bartenders and mm-hmm. servers yes. and the way they treat people.
Probably. Yeah.
And also if they have a terrible sense of humor and I'm constantly having to explain myself, it's going to be hard. I want a good vibe. I want that vibe.
Yeah. No, I am a single mother and that is the end all be all for me. Yeah. If I can tell that you either don't like children or, are just not receptive to the fact that it's a package deal that you're walking into. It's over for me. That's the easiest thing. Cause my child, is my, I'm his protector. I'm the only one, mm-hmm. So I have to make sure that whoever I'm inviting into my space, is receptive of that and is on the same page as I am, as far as my child is concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rebecca and Amy, as the professionals, what red flags would you tell people to pay attention to?
The top one that comes to mind for me is emotional unavailability. Mm-hmm. So, and that presents itself in several different ways, like ghosting. That's usually a red flag.
And I also mm-hmm. like to flip it and say, let's look at the green flags as well, because yeah. people do evolve. My husband, I had two children with another marriage, and he was not into somebody with children. Mm-hmm. And he's the best stepfather and partner I could ask for, and he was definitely didn't know that he was ready for that too, to make that a priority. So some green flags are openness, mm-hmm. Just talking about it, communication. Mm. Right.
Let's flip that. Brandy, Melissa, yeah. Green flags, what are you see this and you're let's go.
Oh, that emotional availability. Mm-hmm. My goodness. If you can sit there and look at me in my eyes, which what I found is a lot of men can't do, it be open and say, I really like you. I don't know. You can't be real and open.
Yeah. Melissa, real quick.
Yeah, definitely openness to communicate and just mm-hmm. to have sometimes the conversations that can be a little hard, yeah. right? And be somebody that's willing to just step up and be fully present mm-hmm. in the dynamic.
All right. And we got to go. I've got Amy Love, Rebecca Bell, Brandy Dorham, and Melissa Hirschman. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to me. This was a great panel. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Ooh,
thanks for having
thank
us.
You.
Amy got to howl.
She got to howl.
And we will be right back.
Amelia Island brings all styles of jazz to the Les DeMerle Amelia Island Jazz Fest, October 1st through 8th. Celebrate the pop vocal group Manhattan Transfer performing on October 5th. Info at ameliaisland.com/jazz. Life South Community Blood Centers, providing blood and patient services to the local hospitals, serving patients in this community. Donating blood with Life South helps save lives. More at lifesouth.org to find a blood drive near you.
Hi, I'm Luke Runyon.
And I'm Alex Hager.
We report on the Colorado River for KUNC.
Part of the NPR network, which is built on the power of local reporting from journalists all over the country.
That means you hear the news from someone embedded in the community or along the river they're reporting on.
This kind of local insight is valuable, and you can support it by making a donation to this station today.
Please call 353-9528, and thank you. In the world of high-end fashion, designers look for inspiration all over the globe. But when a company in Italy takes a style from ethnic artisans in Southeast Asia, some call that plagiarism.
When it came out, there was nothing saying this was the Oma or even the Asian or tribal line.
Big fashion profits from local traditions next time on The World.
This afternoon at 3, here on WJCT News 89.9.
3 long years ago, the president pushed to make universal preschool a key piece of his economic plan.
Low and middle-income families won't spend more than 7% of their income on child care for children under the age of 5.
How are states using universal pre-K to get parents back to work and shore up a pandemic-rattled public school system? That's next time on 1A.
Today, starting at 10 on WJCT News 89.9.
David, you're killing me today. I love this. I just want to snap my fingers and dance, but nobody would see me. Nobody would see me. And we are back. You are listening to WJCT First Coast Connect. I'm your host, Al Letson, and I am also a theater nerd. Everybody knows I'm at least most of Jacksonville should know I'm a theater nerd. And with me is another beautiful theater nerd, Bradley Akers, Managing Director of Players by the Sea. Bradley, how are you, my friend?
Good morning. I'm good, Al. How are you?
I'm good. It's been years since I've seen you. And I think the last time I saw you was probably at Players by the Sea, where now you are the Managing Director.
That's right. Yeah, it's a full circle moment. I started my professional career in the arts at Players 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Actually, 10 years to the year, which I discovered last night.
Wow.
So it's a full circle homecoming moment for me to be able to give back to the theater that gave me so much.
Yeah.
And where we met. I mean, I know your profound connection to Players.
So. Right on. Yeah. Players has produced many, 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 many of my plays. It's an amazing space. So right now, you guys have a show that's going on right now. What is that show?
That's right. That's called Dot. And it's never been seen in this area before. It is about a woman named Dot, a matriarch of a family who's recently been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And this holiday season is going to be different because her 3 adult children are coming back and trying to figure out how do they get their lives together and how do they now care for their mother. So in partnership with Mayo Clinic's Research Center for Alzheimer's, they are the sponsor of the show. We've been able to partner with them to talk to the community through talkbacks and informational tables to talk about research and how do we continue to find a cure for this.
Yeah, and who's directing it?
This is Ramona Ramdean and Noble Lester.
Right on. And tell me about the cast. Who's in it?
Oh gosh, well, we've got a great cast. Leading as Dot is Ava Gardner. We have some familiar faces like Kyle Geary and a wonderful, wonderful actor named Phaedra. And then we've also got some new faces to the stage that we're so excited are joining us for the first time.
Ava is an old friend of mine. I've not seen her in probably as long as it's been since I've seen you. So please, if I can't make it out, because I got to fly out Friday, but please tell her I said hello. I think what's amazing to me about Jacksonville is that there are so many different theater groups and they all seem to play together pretty well. Like everybody supports each other. Everybody goes from one theater production to the next theater production. And Players by the Sea kind of really embodies that because now it's not just Players by the Sea in the building. You have other theaters in the building.
That's right. Yeah, we've got 3 companies operating out of the facility, one being Players by the Sea, of course. We've recently welcomed ABET, which is All Beaches Experimental Theater, into the building. And then Greenlight Theater Company, which specializes in theater education. So our building was popping before, and it is even more popping now with such exciting creative energy and people just trying to make positive impact on other people's lives.
Yeah,
That's what this is about.
So what else can we look forward to in the player season?
Sure. So we have After Dot, which closes this weekend. We'll have 2 more shows that rounds out our 58th season. The Addams Family musical is coming up next, and that's going to be on our main stage. And then we will end the season with a holiday review called The Winter Wonderettes. So we have an exciting end to our season. Mm. You know, Dot is a heart-wrenching comedy, but it has a lot of drama to it. So it's nice to kind of round out the season with just a great time at the beach, enjoying some live local theater.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so when you're putting on these theater productions, I think it's important to stress that, like, you're using First Coast actors. Like, this is all community theater. Everybody's volunteering their time to tell the audience, like, a story that, like, I think, you know, my friend Barbara Colicello, she probably stole this from somebody else, but I remember her telling me that, like, you know, good theater, like, you come into it and you are in one place, and by the end, you've gone on this whole journey, and the art should not leave you in the same place as it found you.
That's right. That's right. And isn't it amazing that it is by people who have full-time jobs,
yep,
right? So the people that you interact with at Publix or the bank or you know, wherever you go, are spending their time to come to the theater in the evenings and transport audiences. And also, like, you know, it's this commitment to a shared experience of humanity. That's what's so powerful about theater, and community theater just makes it that much more special.
All right. Players by the Sea. They've got the play Dot that's starring my good friend Ava, directed by my buddy Noble and Ramona. And it's going to be incredible. So this weekend, get out there to see it. Bradley Akers, the new managing director. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Al. Good to see you.
Good to see you. And that is our program. Thanks to all our guests and callers. Our executive producer is music maestro David Luckin. Our producer is Stacy the Brain Bennett. Our associate producer is Kathy Waterman. And our Martin Scorsese of the operation is Brady Cornhusker Corum. Every day is going to get a new name. Our theme music is provided by Club De Belugas. If you have questions or comments for First Coast Connect, send an email to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. I'm Al Ledson. You've been listening to the show. And remember, y'all, keep your heart open for Duval and each other. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.